Ime Udoka suspended for the whole season by the Boston Celtics. Aaron Judge looks to make history this weekend against the Red Sox. Plus, my college football picks for this weekend on the gridiron, and so much more on this episode today of Home Field Advantage. All right, I'd like to welcome you all into the program. My name is Will Highland. Thanks for tuning in. Hope you're all having a great week or weekend, wherever and however you may be listening to this podcast across our great country or our great land. It is Home Field Advantage here on a Friday afternoon, bringing you into the weekend. If you're listening on audio, hope you're subscribing to us on Spotify, Apple, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you're checking in on YouTube for the first time or on Facebook, happy to have you there. But as I said, we have a loaded show for you this weekend. This episode leading into the weekend. Lots to talk about with the Celtics and the news that broke yesterday regarding their head coach. We have home run number 61 watch for Aaron Judge this weekend against the Red Sox. To my knowledge, he hasn't broken it already as we speak. I know they're getting ready for a game tonight. And also, I'm going to get into some college football and make three big picks for this weekend. So apologize for just a loaded beginning here. If you're watching on audio, hopefully I can continue to make, if you're watching on video, hopefully I can continue to make good eye contact with you all. And we can have a lot of fun discussing some sports here today. So the first thing I want to discuss, and I just want to get it right out of the way, is the whole debacle going on with Ime Udoka and the Boston Celtics. So came out Thursday morning, late Wednesday night, that Coach Udoka was to be suspended for the entire 2022-23 season as a result of breaking team rules, which many people believe, and it's been reported, that it was a consensual affair or relationship, if you want to call it that, with another female staff member of the Celtics. And because that's against team rules, the Celtics have therefore suspended Udoka for the entire upcoming season. So there's a lot of different ways we can go at this. First thing I want to say right off the top is it's an evolving situation. We don't have all the details yet. And to be quite frank, a lot of it isn't our business. We're fans, we're followers of the Boston Red Sox, of the Boston Celtics, but we're not stakeholders. We don't even work in HR. All right. So it's none of our business. We're not stakeholders. We don't even own stock in the company. It doesn't affect our bottom line or any of our livelihood. So a lot of it isn't our business. It's an evolving situation and we don't have the details yet. The other thing I'll say is, look, and I've said this in the past, I've said this about the Mets GM, I forget his name, who was in trouble a few years ago. I said this about the ongoing situation with Deshaun Watson, with some of these other coaches and athletes who get in this kind of trouble is, and I'm just going to say bluntly, is keep it in your pants, right? It comes down to that in a way. I mean, I'm not saying that you can't, and that you can't have a girlfriend at work, all right? But if there's rules about it, follow them. I mean, I find it hard to believe that a guy like Udoka, who's been in the league for so long, he's had most of his career has spent around the NBA. I'm sure the Celtics aren't the only team with a rule like this. It's really not that hard, guys. If you want to have a girlfriend at work in many places, all you got to do is just say, hey, HR, by the way, so-and-so and I are dating. If there's personnel changes involving one or both of us, you can look into it to make sure there's no impropriety or quid pro quo or anything. But just so you know, we're having a relationship. And in many workplaces, I'm not a labor lawyer. I'm not an HR rep. But most of the time, all you got to do is disclose it. And my guess is, again, not knowing a lot about the situation because there's a lot of details we don't know. But one of my guesses is they didn't disclose it, and that's the breaking of the rule. Now, you can agree or disagree with the rule. You can talk all day long about, oh, well, it was a consensual relationship. But consensual just doesn't, in the workplace, doesn't mean what it means in private life. It doesn't. When you're in the workplace and there are potential, I'm not saying it's specifically with this case, but there's something to do with, you know, your superiors, your subordinates, hiring, firing that could occur. I'm sure that maybe this staff member might know people that there might be some organizational chart hierarchies, something to do with this. We just don't know. And it is, these policies are in place to avoid situations like this. All right, so that's just the first thing I'll say about this specific case is, like, keep it in your pants, Ime. And if you don't want to do that, follow the rules as they're written. And let's say maybe it's more conservative or more strict than I'm saying, and the rule is you can't have a girlfriend at work, period. You signed a contract with this team. You have to live up to the contract. And you have to abide by the rules that are there. And the fact that, oh, well, he wasn't married to his significant other, so this isn't really an affair. That's, come on. That's probably why it wasn't disclosed, is because it was an affair. So there's a double whammy there. Again, I don't know a lot about the situation. Hopefully nobody gets shamed over this. I mean, I don't think you should shame anybody over this, all right? People, adults, can have relationships. But when it's within the workplace, you got to abide by the rules that are in place. And I think with this situation, we just didn't get that. And that's ultimately why Ime was suspended. Now, I'm not going to absolve the Boston Celtics from this either. There's absolutely no reason why Adrian Wojnarowski should be the one breaking that story. If you have something like this going on in your organization, you should be the one that breaks that story. It caused more damage for the staff member involved and for Coach Udoka that it came out via ESPN and via Twitter on like Wednesday night. Because what that did is it gave people all Thursday morning to spitball hot takes all over the internet, start doxing innocent members of the Celtics staff who had nothing to do with the affair. And, you know, people just started jumping to conclusions about this situation. The fact of the matter is we just don't know a lot about it. We just have little to no details, and for good reason. The Celtics are never going to tell us publicly who the individual that was involved with Coach Udoka was. We're never going to know that from the Celtics, in my opinion. That's fine. We don't, again, as I've said, we don't deserve to know that. The other thing we're not going to know is, you know, how long or how early did they know about this? They're going to hide behind, you know, it's ongoing investigation, yada, yada, yada. And I mean, that's the truth. Wick's press conference today with Brad Stevens was a nothing burger. It was meant to control the message, and they're controlling the message, and they're doing exactly what they needed to do in that regard. But they waited a long time to initiate that statement, and they knew this was coming, and there was a leak. Somebody leaked it. I mean, there was even some tweets about how people knew about it like an hour ahead of time before Woj's tweet came down. So it was an absolute bleep show from the start. But again, as I'll say, nobody deserves to be shamed. However, it's a completely avoidable situation if you do one of two things. Either don't sleep with somebody at work, or if you want to, tell HR about it. And guess what? Most of the time, no one cares as long as there's disclosure. Because again, if there wasn't disclosure, which in this case, it doesn't appear like there was, that's probably the number one rule breaker. That was, you know, Wick today said that there were multiple violations of the code. Well, perhaps one of them was you can't sleep with somebody at work, period. Or if you do, you got to tell us about it. And maybe both of those things were broken. Assuming they're not mutually exclusive. But number one, just don't do it. Number two, if you're going to do it, tell somebody about it. You can keep it in your pants. I don't understand why there's so many guys like me out there. Look, I would If I knew enough about basketball, I would love to coach an NBA team. If I was qualified, if I was somebody like, you know, Joe Mazzulla, who's now getting a job because of Ime being suspended, I mean, he probably hates that his first NBA coaching job's at the expense of this. It's like, come on, I've worked my you-know-what off for all these years, and it's because of this that I'm finally getting a job? Or what about all the guys that don't get a job? You know, and then there's people like this who go out there and just blow opportunities of a lifetime. And it actually really sucks for the Celtics because, I mean, I like Ime. I think Ime is a great coach. And now you've suspended him for a year, and your hands are tied because – what are you going to do? Is he going to come back into that organization after leaving for a year in this way? I don't think so. You know, so in this team, I mean, what are they going to, what are they going to do? It's just one thing after another with this group. And I'm not really sure. I'm not really sure what to make of it there. But I guess the bottom line is this. Celtics are going to have to go without him this year. They're going to have to weather the storm. All right. And Coach Udoka made a poor decision. It was a bad look, bad choice. It's okay to say that. Does he deserve to be shamed? Absolutely not. I don't think so. Does the suspension make a lot of sense if you factor in what's going on with Robert Sarver or what happened to Gilbert Arenas, or if you jump around to different sports, which is kind of dangerous because these are all separate organizations. But, I mean, look what happened. What's going on with Deshaun Watson? What's going on with, you know, Greg Hardy or Zeke Elliott way back when? I mean, there's just, or Ray Rice. I mean, there's just so many examples. And I'm not saying that one is exactly like the other. In fact, I'm saying the opposite, is that we can't just go and obsess this situation like we do all the rest. Every situation is different. But you start to look around and, you know, people shrug, are naturally going to shrug their shoulders and wonder what the hell's going on. So for me, I'm a little concerned with the outcomes here and what it means for the Celtics. But more importantly, I hope nobody gets hurt by this. You know, it's probably going to ruin some relationships, perhaps. But I hope that nobody, you know, goes into any severe harm, because this, in my opinion, should never have been made public in that way. Coach Udoka, I mean, you got to shake your head, but you just got to hope that this situation sorts its way out. Because right now, it's a trash heap of news being circulated out there with not a lot of fact behind it. All right, you want to know what is a fact? I am super, super into old school baseball. I love old school baseball. I think old school baseball is one of the few things that I will really nerd out about. And there is a ongoing sort of discussion about baseball and where its place is in our society here. Let me just fiddle around with this. All right. There's an ongoing discussion about what's going on with baseball in our society, and should it adapt? Should it change? Should it morph? Like, whatever it does, there's a lot of debate over that. For me personally, I look at old school. I look at the 70s and the 80s being the golden era of baseball. And there's been a lot of talk about baseball on TV lately. And there was actually a tweet last night about John Smoltz, who I believe works for Fox and MLB Network, that was basically criticizing the way that he broadcasts the game. Well, that tweet was retweeted by none other than Nesson's own Dennis Eckersley, who I'm personally a big fan of. And it got me thinking, going into this old school baseball debate, which of the two was a better pitcher, Dennis Eckersley or John Smoltz? And I've got the numbers in front of me. I wrote a few down, and I also have a few on my computer here that I'll look at in a second. But difference between the two is that I believe Smoltz had more experience as a starter than Eckersley. But Eckersley and Smoltz were both closers and starters. So not only did they both have a similar role throughout their career, but they were also pitching at around the same time. They definitely overlapped in most of the 90s, especially the early 90s. So it got me thinking which of the two had a better career. So So John Smoltz has more wins. He has 16 more wins, despite being a starter for the vast majority of games compared to Eckersley. So I know Smoltz does have, I believe, if I want to look that up here, I think Smoltz has, oh shoot, did I lose my stats? I think I lost my stats. I'm going to look it up anyway. I think Smoltz has, yes, I was right. So Smoltz has 154 career saves. Eckersley has 390. So Eck saved way more games than Smoltz. Eckersley also appeared in about 350 more games than Smoltz. So he had a longer career. But Smoltz had 120 more starts. So if you average that all out, Smoltz actually had more innings pitched in his career than Eckersley, despite Eckersley having way more games because of the fact that Smoltz was a starter longer than Eckersley. They both had about the same WHIP, which stands for walks, hits per innings pitched. So basically, they were about striking out the same amount of guys and walking the same amount of guys and allowing the same amount of hits, because their strikeouts per nine was, let me find that here, lost that on my screen. Where'd it go? Strikeouts per nine, actually Smoltz had a higher strikeouts per nine. He had an 8 versus 6.6, but that's really not a ton over time. Smoltz does have more strikeouts than Eck, 3,000 to 2,400. So it's basically a toss-up. Eck has some categories where he has better statistics than Smoltz, but also Smoltz was a starter for longer and has would probably have pitched for longer periods of time. So there's sort of a lot going into it, and it's really hard to compare. But those two did have very similar careers, and they're both Hall of Famers. In my opinion, I would probably say that Smoltz had the better career by a hair. I do think that Eckersley is a top five closer of all time. I would not say that about John Smoltz. I would probably put Fingers, Rivera, Hoffman, maybe, don't kill me, but maybe even a guy like Craig Kimbrell, and then Eck being the best closer of all time alongside Rivera and Hoffman. So I would say those three, and then maybe like a Kimbrell, then a Smoltz, perhaps, or a Raleigh Fingers. But meanwhile, I would say Smoltz also benefited from being on a staff with Tom Glavine and Greg Maddux. I don't know a ton about the 1980s Oakland A's, other than the fact that Eckersley was kind of the face of that pitching staff, despite being a reliever for a lot of the time. I think that's a fun baseball debate. ERAs are about the same too, 3.33 compared to 3.5. Be interested to hear what you all think about who had a better career, if it was Eck or John Smoltz. All right, moving on here real fast. We've got another baseball record situation going on. So Aaron Judge is closing in on 61 home runs. He quite is possibly having the best season of any Yankee ever. Just throwing that out there. He is going to be right up there at the end of the year in terms of statistics with guys like Mantle, Ruth, Maris, DiMaggio, Gehrig, all the great Yankees of all time. Judge is in that conversation right now. The one critique I've got about this whole situation is it's fun, this chasing number 61 kind of thing, but if you're like a baseball fan like I am, who's not a fan of the Yankees, you're looking around saying, all right, Aaron Judge is going to break the 61 home run record. He's definitely going to do it. He's got like, 10 games left. They're playing the Red Sox this weekend. He's absolutely going to hit a home run off some nobody that we're going to trot out in the eighth inning. But is he going to be a Yankee next year? I don't know. He could be. He very well could be a Yankee next year. Or he very well might not be. He could join somebody like the Red Sox, like the Cardinals, Padres, who the hell knows, even the Dodgers. I mean, there's going to be teams that if he's a free agent, going to give this guy a blank check. And if you're a Red Sox fan, like I am, you're looking around. The videos going forward where Judge is the one that breaks the home run record for the Yankees, obviously Barry Bonds, no matter what you want to say about him, will still have it at 72. But you're looking around at Aaron Judge breaking the home run record for the Yankees, passing Roger Maris. And that Red Sox pitcher is going to be in that clip forever. So if you're a Red Sox fan and you're going to see your jersey of your team on the field every time you watch that video, every time that video is shown in an ESPN documentary or whatever, there's only one way to reconcile that if you're a Red Sox fan. And that is, get this man on your damn baseball team so that you get the last laugh. Look, they can go out and they can get Johnny Damon and Jacoby Ellsbury, who, let's be real, had underwhelming careers with the New York with the New York Yankees after leaving the Boston Red Sox. But if the Red Sox go out and get Aaron Judge, who's, what is he, 28 years old, something like that, 27 years old, 29, somewhere in that ballpark, no pun intended, you're going to get a guy who's at worst going to be DH in a few years. At worst, going to probably hit 30 to 35 homers for you every year. And you can laugh at the Yankees when he's hitting home runs over the monster or down by Pesky's pole in your ballpark. So if I'm a Red Sox fan, I look around and I'm like, okay, Bogaerts and Devers, break out the check for those guys. We got Story on the team. We've got Aaron Judge. Nice to see you, JD. You're probably going to stick around until the end of your contract, but we ain't paying David Price anymore. We're not paying Pablo Sandoval or Hanley Ramirez, I don't believe, after maybe this year or next. So let's go get Aaron Judge. I mean, really. Because if you look at that lineup and you've got Story, Bogaerts, Devers, Tristan Casas, Aaron Judge, JD Martinez, maybe, if he's still around. You got Verdugo. I mean, that's a World Series winning team. Or caliber team. And what the hell's the point of letting Mookie Betts walk out the door if you're not going to go ahead and start paying some of these guys? Now, how big would an Aaron Judge contract be in, you know, relation to somebody like Bryce Harper, Mike Trout, Mookie Betts? I don't know. I think one thing you can say about Judge is towards the end of his career, he's probably going to be more of a one-dimensional player than those guys. And he comes with a lot more strikeouts than those guys. But if I'm the Red Sox, I would seriously entertain that. You're the Boston freaking Red Sox. I'm all aboard Aaron Judge to Boston. Is it a pipe dream? Maybe. But so was Giancarlo Stanton going to the Yankees 5 years ago. Look what happened. That's all I'm going to say about that. All right, moving on here. We've got a situation where I'm going to go out on a limb and make some college football picks. Now, I'll be the first to admit that college football is not necessarily my forte. I'm new to the college football world. But this week, we got some pretty good games. So the first pick I'm going to make is I like Michigan at home against Maryland, minus 17. I think Michigan's going to cover. I think Michigan could win by 24. Look, I know it's a conference opponent. I know Maryland has had, you know, some games throughout the past few years where they've gone and given teams a hard time. But the way Michigan's playing, like I know you blow out Hawaii and you blow out some of these other teams and everyone's like, this isn't a real schedule. So what? You play the teams that are in front of you. And I'm all for I am all for the Wolverines just absolutely trouncing the Terrapins at home. So I think Michigan is playing well offensively. They're hard to stop. I think Harbaugh's got a hit list of teams later on in the schedule that he wants to get at. Iowa, maybe Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan State. I mean, this is the kind of game where a team like Michigan's going to make some hay. And that's why I like Michigan in this game to cover minus 17 over Maryland. The other game I really like is USC minus 6 against, oh man, I forget who they're playing. Ah, I forgot. Let me look that up real quick. I had written it down. I like them whoever they're playing. You know, Lincoln Riley and the boys down there, you know, the Oregon State. So they're playing Oregon State on the road. I think 6, despite going up there to Eugene, I know that it's a tough place to play. It's not going to be easy for somebody like a USC to go up there and just roll, right? There's going to be some situations that occur, you know, defensively where they'll be backed up and Oregon State will move the ball. But I really like them to cover. And as well, just like Michigan. I think 6 is really small. Like, I know Oregon State's no slouch, but I could see them winning by 8 or 7, and that's enough. So I like USC on the road against Oregon State tomorrow night covering. It's my pick number 2. And last pick, look, I mean, this is the hardest game of the weekend to pick, this one I'm about to talk about. I like Florida on the road at Tennessee to cover the 10.5, but still lose. So Tennessee's a 10.5-point favorite. I think Florida covers. I think they lose by maybe 6 or 7. But I think ultimately, Josh Heupel, Hendon Hooker, the boys over there, Rocky Top, they're going to make enough plays offensively where I just don't see Florida having the ball enough. I mean, I think Billy Napier wants to do things with Anthony Richardson that he just hasn't done yet. But, you know, I don't think this is going to be a game where the Gators are going to be able to just hang out and hope that there are situations where they can put together a drive. I think this is a game where Florida's got to score quickly if they want to keep up with Tennessee at home in a game, in, let's face it, probably the biggest college football game in Knoxville in quite some time. So I like Tennessee in the game to win outright, but I like Florida to cover that 10.5 just because I do think they are a potent offense, and I do think it's going to be a closer game than a lot of people think. We saw what Florida did against Utah, and so for that reason, I like Tennessee in the game, but I like Florida to cover that 10.5. All right, lastly, I want to close out here with an NFL thought. So the Pats at home against the Ravens, I'm not feeling too confident about the Patriots at home. Right now, the Ravens are 2.5-point favorite. Pats a 2.5-point dog at home. Look, normally throughout my life, when you bet on the Pats at home, or bet against the Pats at home, it's not a great strategy. I don't know about Patriots' ability to match the Ravens score for score. The Ravens are going to be looking a little angry after what happened last week with the Dolphins. I don't believe in the transitive property in football. But the fact that the Ravens scored a lot against the Dolphins and we didn't, despite the fact that the Ravens blew that game, they were still in control early. What was it, up 35-14? They've scored 5 touchdowns. We held the Dolphins to, I think, maybe 13 points of offense in the opener. And now the Dolphins were able to score that much on the Ravens, but the Ravens at one point were up 35-14. So the Ravens had some offense. I don't know if we can say that about the Patriots in either one of their two games. So for that reason, I like the Ravens in this game. Earlier in the season, I picked the Pats in this game I said it in the Patriots preview show. I said it in the show that we had with Cam and Diesel. But the way that I saw the Patriots offense look last week, which was inconsistent, they needed some help on special teams. Couple of drop passes from the Steelers, including a dropped interception from the Steelers to win that game close on the road. At home against the offense that with Mark Andrews and Lamar Jackson, they've got some playmakers. I just don't know about the Patriots' ability to match the Ravens score for score. I think if the Patriots were to win, they'd have to come out and score a touchdown on their opening possession. They've been close to doing that on their previous two games. First game, Mac threw an interception down the right sideline to Parker. Then the second game, they had to settle for a field goal. Can't settle for field goals. We know how much the Ravens can get up. And if they get up on us like the Dolphins were down, like they got up on the Dolphins and we're down like the Dolphins were, we don't have the kind of playmakers like Miami had to just, you know, have Tyreek Hill bail us out with 42 fantasy points. We don't have anybody like that. As I've said before, there's nobody on this Patriots team that an opposing defense has to scheme up for. And talent beats scheme. So I think the Patriots have their work cut out for them. And for that reason, I think I'm going with the Ravens in this game. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of Home Field Advantage. If you're watching on YouTube, thanks for tuning in. If you're hanging out with us on Spotify, Apple, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, thanks again for tuning in there. We'll be back next week with an additional pod. I might even, knock on wood, come to you Monday with some NFL and college football recaps from over the weekend. We'll see what happens with the Aaron Judge home run chase. It's been 61 years since 1961 when Roger Maris hit 61. So I like the odds of that happening before the end of the season. So we'll keep our eyes out for that as well. But until next time, I hope you have a great rest of your week or weekend. You've been listening or watching Home Field Advantage here on the Sportland USA Podcast Network. My name is Will Hound. Hope you have a great rest of your week. If you like this podcast, please subscribe on your favorite provider, including Spotify, Apple, Stitcher, and Google Podcasts. Be sure to also check out Filling Up with Kyle Diesel and Making Fire, our brand new podcast developed under the Sportland USA Podcast Network. Home Field Advantage, The Morning Advantage, Making Fire, and Filling Up are presented by Sportland USA, and the opinions shared on them do not reflect those of any other company, outlet, person, or entity.